I just love that song, isn't it? It's just great to be reminded of how much God loves us and just how sin is no longer an issue. It's no longer a barrier. I just love that great reminder. So we are today in 2 Kings, chapter 20, verse 20. That's the reading. So 2 Kings, chapter 20, verse 20. As for the other events of Hezekiah's reign, all his achievements, and how he made the pool and the tunnel by which it brought water into the city, they are not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah. So that's our verse. And I want to talk today about this tunnel that Hezekiah built. So I was privileged a few years ago to go to Israel. And when I went to Israel, you can find this tunnel that King Hezekiah built. We talked about it a little bit last week. And what he does is he builds a tunnel that goes from the pool of Gihon, and it goes down to the pool of Siloam. And it's this channel that he cuts out through the rock underneath Jerusalem, and it was to make sure that they could get water from the spring that was basically the main well for the city. They could get it into the city, because the pool of Gihon is on the outside of the city walls. And what Hezekiah does in his reign is he fortifies the pool of Gihon, and what he also then does, he cuts this channel through the rock so that it goes to the pool of Siloam and feeds the pool of Siloam, which is really important to the Jews. I'll explain that a little bit more in a moment. There were channels before this that took water from Gihon to the pool of Siloam, but they were shorter tunnels, and most of them were overground, and they went outside the city, and therefore any invading army could quite happily block up the water system or could get to the water. So Hezekiah has his strategy and his plan to do something quite interesting. This tunnel runs for a long way. I can't remember how long it is now, but it runs a long way through the city. It's a very long tunnel, and you can walk through it. And you can go one end at the pool of Gihon, and you can walk all the way through it down to the pool of Siloam. It comes out of the pool of Siloam, and you can walk through it. And when you go in the middle of it, it's just pitch black. It's strange to go somewhere where it's completely pitch black. And the water kind of comes up to about your ankles. And it's amazing to watch the engineering of this Bronze Age people who create this slope that is just so gentle through the rock. It's amazing what people who are inspired can do. When you're inspired, it's amazing what can be achieved. Anyway, when they were excavating this back in the late 1800s, a little boy was playing in this tunnel and found, you can see it from the screen there, at the top right-hand side, he found a little plaque, and the little plaque said the fact that this was the tunnel of Hezekiah, and it explained how it was built, and it explained how two different groups of men started at different ends, and how they used pickaxes to work their way through the tunnel and met in the middle. And so what we have here is a beautiful piece of archaeology which just proves that the historical account of the Bible is true. It's always nice to be reminded of the fact that this is a true story, not just a myth from the past, but actually this happened. And so this plaque is there. It's now in, I think it's actually in the museum in Constantinople. But when you go to in the tunnel, there's a mock-up of that plaque, and you can read it and see it. And it describes how it was built. And it's amazing, say, to be reminded of the fact that these things actually happened in history. And at the bottom there, you can't really see it on the screen, but you might see it on there. It comes out of the Pool of Siloam. Which in the Bible in Jesus' time is mentioned quite a few times, particularly in John chapter 9, I think it is, where there's a man who Jesus sends to the pool of Siloam to go and wash his eyes and find healing for sight in that place. So we've got this tunnel that runs. I can't talk about really sort of the symbolic imagery this tunnel can maybe speak to us about today. It's a bit of a random sermon based upon water. And what I was to think about is the fact that what does this mean to us? Because Hezekiah is someone who channels water from a source to a well. Gihon, the pool of Gihon, what it means, Gihon just means literally source. It means fountain. It means a place where water springs from or kind of gushes forth from. That's kind of what it means. And then Siloam is an interesting one because in John's Gospel it tells us that Pool of Siloam means to be sent. So you have water that flows from the source to the place of being sent. And in our lives, that's so true, how what we receive is about being a connection between the source of heaven and being sent out into the world. So here is just a picture. You might be able to see it on screen. So you've got in the middle there, the city of David. It's kind of a little map looking above. And you've got the Gihon Spring on the one side, and you've got the tunnel running all the way through down to the poor side there, which is inside the city walls, just so you've got an idea of how far it runs. It's quite a long tunnel and very windy. Now, when we look in the scriptures, the interesting thing about the Pool of Gihon is the fact that it was seen as sort of the life spring of Jerusalem. Jerusalem could stay there because that spring was there. That was its water source. That's where it came from. And what you see, if you read 1 Kings 1, verses 33 and 34, you see that it's at the Pool of Gihon that they anoint Solomon king over Israel. And there's this kind of sense of the life source is the place of anointing. And actually, it's at that place that Solomon is anointed king. It's kind of a symbol of life, a symbol of kingship. It's kind of, that's what's kind of being represented there. That's what the source represents. The kingship, the life, the anointing of God. And then the Pool of Siloam, which talks about the idea of being sent. But then when we actually read in the scriptures about more goes on about the Pool of Siloam, it's this beautiful thing because there's this story in the Gospels, in John 7. And it says this, "On the last day of the great day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe were later to receive." So Jesus is at this festival, and he says, basically, if you're thirsty, come to me, and I'll give you living water. Basically, I'll give you the Holy Spirit to come and be within you, to pour out of you, to bring life to other people and to you. Now, the festival that Jesus is at is called the Feast of Tabernacles. And he's not just saying a random verse. He's talking very specifically about an event that happens at the Feast of Tabernacles. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, what they do is they go down to the Pool of Siloam, and they draw water out of the Pool of Siloam, and they carry it up to the altar at the temple, and they pour it on the altar. And whilst they're doing that, they sing the words from Isaiah 12, which I read at the beginning. "With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And later on in Isaiah 12, it goes on to say about how this will impact the entire world. And in Zechariah 15, I think it is, it talks about the Feast of Tabernacles in the last days. And it talks about the idea that in the last days, knowledge of Jesus will be known throughout the whole world, just like waters cover the face of the earth. And so what's going on at the Feast of Tabernacles is this imagery of saying, we draw water from the wells of salvation, and we're pouring it out on the altar of God as a reminder that actually salvation comes from him, and that one day it will cover the entire face of the earth. So the Pool of Siloam was this special pool which had a meaning for the Jews of this place of salvation, this place of life. It was this place of hope and of joy and of song, and this idea that God's Spirit and God's power will do something throughout the whole world. So you've got this source of anointing, of life, with a tunnel that connects it to a place of being sent out with joy and with song and with salvation. And Hezekiah, what we see in his life, is someone who has a heart after God. He said to me in those verses, "I made a covenant in my heart. I want to make a covenant in my heart with God. It's in my heart to do that." Is that he's someone in the nation of Israel who connects the nation of Israel back to the source. So it actually has an impact in the world around them. But you see, it's interesting that this Pool of Siloam is mentioned earlier on in the book of Isaiah. So the book of Isaiah kind of is, Isaiah's a prophet at the same time as King Hezekiah's living around. So in the story of Hezekiah, Isaiah is a prophet who comes to talk to Hezekiah quite regularly. If you're trying to work out where Isaiah fits into the story, this big random book in the Bible, it kind of has got all these prophecies in it, it fits in with Hezekiah and some of the other kings around that time. So Isaiah is also writing at the time of Ahaz, who is Hezekiah's dad. And in chapter 7 of Isaiah, there's a story about how Ahaz, when faced with trouble, when faced with a siege from Jerusalem, from Israel this time, from the northern kingdom, God says, trust me in this. God says, trust me and I will do something for you. I will save you if you trust me. And he says, I'll give you a sign if you ask for it. And Ahaz goes, no, I'm not going to test God. And actually what he's saying is, I don't want to trust God. I want to do it my own way. And Ahaz ends up, in the end, getting into bed with the Assyrians and worshipping the gods of Assyria, which is the thing that then his son Hezekiah comes and destroys and says, this isn't right. So you've got Ahaz, who's Hezekiah's father, who rejects faith in God in Isaiah chapter 7. And in Isaiah 8 verse 6, the prophecy of Isaiah says this, because this people has rejected the gentle flowing waters of Shiloh, and rejoice over risen and the son of blah, 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 blah. I don't know how to say that. But Shiloh, the Shiloh there is also the word for Siloam. It's the same word. There's several different words for the same pool, and that's what it means. And so the pool of Siloam is this kind of image, prophetic image, of God's provision, of this gentle provision of God, which is just beautiful and resting. Think about Psalm 23. He leads me beside still waters. This kind of idea here of the pool of Siloam is this place of joy and of hope, of brings peace and gentleness and just the flow of God. And Isaiah's prophecy against Ahaz is saying, you've rejected the gentle pools of Siloam. You've rejected it. And it then goes on to say, because you've rejected it and you've turned away from that, it says that the rivers of Assyria will come and flood your nation. And it's saying, because you haven't looked to the source and to the gentle waters of God, and you haven't trusted in that, suddenly the king of Assyria will come like a flood. And rather than there being gentle peace, there will be a gushing torrent of disaster that comes to your nation. So Isaiah has this prophetic image of the gentle waters of Siloam being a symbol of our relationship and our connectedness with God and the flow of his spirit in and through us. And so when Isaiah then in Isaiah chapter 11 and chapter 12 talks about the idea of this water, this spring that bubbles up, this, you'll draw water from the pools of salvation, i.e. the pool of Siloam. This place that represents how God's salvation will come to the whole earth. Isaiah prophesies that in Isaiah 12, and you've got Hezekiah who kind of fulfills part of that, of being someone who turns the nation back to God. So whereas Hezekiah's father Ahaz rejects the flow of God's spirit, because Hezekiah is someone who says, that's in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord, to restore the nation back to him, what we see is Hezekiah is someone who connects to the source to bring life. That's his ministry. The whole imagery of what Hezekiah does, he's someone who takes the nation of Israel and he clears away the rubbish and he reconnects them back to the source of God. He rejects how Ahaz has gone away from God and not trusted God, and he turns back to God and reconnects the nation back to him. And the tunnels are like a prophetic image of what he did. He made a way for the source to be connected to the place where we can receive. Place where we can receive and where it can be then used for the sending out into the world. And what you see in Hezekiah is someone who's a man of repentance. We talked about in the first week about how he clears out all the foreign gods and he calls people back to repent. He's also a man of faith. He believes and trusts God that when siege comes, God will step in and do something, which Ahaz doesn't do. But we also see he's a man of obedience. He does what God tells him to do. And when there's faith and repentance and obedience, it allows the connectivity between us and God to be flowing in a stronger way. From the source of anointing and life to the place where we find joy and salvation, where we are empowered to do the things that change the world. And so when we get to the book of Isaiah, the first 10 chapters are basically Isaiah saying to Ahaz, basically, you've all messed up, it's not going to be great, because you keep rejecting God. And then chapter 11 and 12 is the turning point where he then prophesies hope over the nation. He says, even though you've turned away from God, there's always hope with God. And Isaiah chapter 11 and 12 kind of turns into that. So chapter 12 is about the pools of salvation, but chapter 11, that's about the surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He's become my salvation with joy. You'll draw water from the wells of salvation. This idea of trusting in God leads to a restored life and a restored hope. But in Isaiah 11, we have this beautiful picture of the Spirit of God. And it says, the Spirit of God will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom, of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, of power, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. And there are these kind of six things in Isaiah that speak about the work of the Spirit. And as we read in chapter 7 of John's Gospel, where Jesus says, actually, the water, come to me all who are thirsty, and I'll give you a drink. He's talking at the same time as they're bringing water up from the pool of Siloam, up to the temple, and he's saying, that water won't bring you the life that he's talking about. He says, life comes from me. That's why what he was saying in the temple, people were like, you can't say that sort of thing. You're saying that you are the source of life. You're saying that actually the Spirit of God lives in you. You're saying the Spirit of God comes from you and you command it. You can't say that. And so Jesus is saying that the image of water from the pools of Siloam is a prophetic image of the Spirit of God at work. So then when we read Isaiah 11, we hear about what the Spirit's work is. The question this morning I want to simply ask you is this. What flow of the Spirit do you need to draw and believe upon today? That's a simple question. You see, because the Spirit of God is given to those who are of faith for lots of different purposes. And if you read Romans 12 or you read 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, which are there for the encouragement and the building up of the people of God and the church, but also to empower us to be sent out. You know, the word Siloam meaning sent. That when we draw from the well of salvation, when we draw from the power of the Spirit in us, it sends us out. And so this morning, do you need to reconnect to wisdom? Do you need to reconnect to some understanding? Do you need to reconnect to some counsel? Do you need to reconnect to some power? Do you need to reconnect to some knowledge? Do you need to reconnect to some fear of the Lord, some reverence for him, some faith in who he is? Because Hezekiah was someone who wanted to connect people back to God. And the prophetic image of the tunnel is someone who takes water from the source and brings it to a place where the people can receive it, find life from it, and be sent out with it to change the world. And the Spirit of God is given to us, linked to the source, which is Christ. And when there's repentance, when there's a faith and there's obedience, it allows the flow of God's Spirit in and through us to have an impact on our lives and the world. To be anointed in the flow of God's Spirit. And so this morning, what part of the Spirit of God are you not connecting with? See, when you read the scriptures, it says things, isn't it? Jesus says, Spirit of God, he's a counselor. He says he'll lead you into all truth. He says he'll give you power to cast out demons, to heal the sick. See, the Spirit of God has different functions and different things it does. And some of us only encounter one aspect of it. Or two aspects of it. And actually, what aspect of the Spirit of God do you need to connect with today? Are you lacking wisdom today? Then ask the God's Spirit to come and flow in you to bring wisdom. Are you lacking understanding in something that's going on in your life right now? Ask God to flow in and through you and bring that understanding. Are you lacking that sense of counsel? I just need some wise counsel to help bring me guidance and direction. Ask God's Spirit to come and flow in you and bring that. I think we often forget to ask the Spirit of God for the things that he's given to us to do. And if we look at this in the context of some of the spiritual gifts, we could read it maybe this way. Taking 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, where it talks about gifts of the Spirit, you can see wisdom as actually the spiritual gift of teaching. So sometimes we might need the spiritual fruit of wisdom, but actually for some of us, we need actually the spiritual gift of teaching. It could be that actually for some of us, we need understanding, but for some of us, actually God's giving us the Spirit of discernment to be able to bring understanding to other people. See, it's both for us, but it's also to send us out with gifts. So this morning, are you needing something? Are you needing the fruit of it, or actually are you needing to be empowered in it to help the world around you? So wisdom can be teaching. Understanding can be the spiritual gift of discernment. Understanding what's going on, seeing how it's at work, understanding the situation. The spirit of counsel can be the spirit of leadership. Someone who brings counsel and leadership and guidance into something new. So actually maybe you're doing something, you're going, actually I just need more of the spirit of leadership in my life because I need, whether at work or at home or with the people around me, I need to be more empowered in the way I'm leading. I need more of like godly counsel. The spirit of power is about being able to do the miraculous, to do the healing, to do the supernatural things that God talks about. Do you need more of the fruit of God's power in your life this morning? Is there something you need healing for or need God to step in with power to do something, a miracle in your life? Or actually is God calling you to be someone who stands in the power and authority of the Spirit of God and pray for people and use that gift of power for the people around you? Is it knowledge? Are you lacking a bit of knowledge today? Then maybe what you need is the spiritual gift of prophecy. Because prophecy is God revealing a word to us, a word of knowledge to us. So if you have the gift of prophecy today, there is someone here who's lacking knowledge and you're called to bring a word to them. And it can be here, the fear of the Lord can be actually, maybe you need more faith. It says in 1 Corinthians 12 that one of the gifts of the Spirit is faith. Faith to believe for something greater, to believe that God can do something bigger. And so the fear of the Lord is saying, I hold him in reverence, I hold him in awe, I hold him in awesomeness, and recognize that actually I have faith in that when I recognize how big he is. So this morning, maybe you need to understand how big God is to give you faith in your situation you're in. But maybe actually you're here this morning and you think, actually I see God is big and the gift of faith is given to you to encourage other people. And Romans 12 talks about the gift of encouragement, of giving courage, of giving faith to other people. So what are you connecting with? Is there any fruit of the Spirit that you need to connect with this morning? Need some wisdom, some guidance, some counsel, some understanding, some power? Or actually, are you here this morning going, actually, yeah, I operate in that gift. I want some of that. Paul says, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. So maybe you're here this morning going, actually, I've never prophesied before. Then this morning, ask for the gift of prophecy. You might be here this morning saying, I'm not sure I can be a leader. Well, ask for the gift of leadership and see what God will lead you into. If you're here this morning thinking, actually, I wish I could really get a grip on what's going on for different people's lives, ask for the gift of discernment. One of the best gifts you can ever have is the gift of discernment. You start understanding and seeing things in a whole new light, in a whole new way. Seek the gift of discernment. Maybe actually going, I've never prayed for anyone who's sick before to get healed. Then ask for the gift of power and go and pray for someone. Maybe you're here this morning and you're going, I could never stand at the front and teach anyone. I can never lead a small group. I can never lead a climbers group. Then why don't you ask for the gift of wisdom and the power of teaching? See, we often come to situations and say, I can't do X, Y, or Z. I can't do this. I lack something. And God says, I've given you my entire spirit. My power is given to you. Who I am is given to you to bring about all these different things. So trust me and believe me, put faith in me that I will do it. Don't be like Ahaz, who when God says, trust me, he says, no, I'm not going to do that, God. I couldn't possibly. See, what Ahaz does is he fakes humility. And he uses fake humility as a way of not doing what God asked him to do. Often we go, oh, I couldn't possibly do that, no, Lord. No. I'm not good enough for that, God. I can't possibly. And God's going, grow up. Stop it. It's fake humility, and it shows no trust in the power of the Spirit of God to work in and through our lives. So don't use fake humility as a way of getting out of doing things that God's calling you to do. Be like Hezekiah, someone who goes, it's in my heart to make a covenant with God. It's in my heart to be connected. It's in my heart to draw from the source of God and bring it into my life and the lives of other people. The Spirit of God is there to empower us, to encourage us, to teach us, to lead us, to guide us. And it's available to us. So this morning, which one are you going to pray about? Which one are you going to either ask for Or which thing are you lacking at the moment? And ask for the power of God to come in your life and give you that gift. And if you ask something like the gift of power for miracles, find someone who needs healing and pray for them. I've got a really bad knee at the moment, so if you want to come and pray for me, come pray for my knee. There you are, I'm unwell. Pray for me. If you've never done it before, come and do it. Maybe, I dare you, when we finish in a moment with a song, ask God to give you a word of knowledge for someone else in this church. Ask God to give you a word of knowledge for someone else in the church, and then go and give it to them. Why? Because this is God's power given to us. And we are meant to be inspired and encouraged and draw from the Spirit of God, from the wells of salvation, from the wells of all that God's given us, with joy and excitement. And too many of us kind of go, oh, I can't do that. And God's going, well, flip them, I'll do it, because I've given you my Spirit. And the Paul of Siloam means to be sent. So we're going to practice in here, and then this week we're going to go out and we're going to go and do it. We're going to go and bring leadership. We're going to go and bring wisdom. We're going to go and bring teaching and discernment and understanding and prophecy to the people around us. Because it's not for in here, it's for out there. But it starts in here. And in here we're going to draw from the wells of salvation and say, Spirit of God, come and give me power. Come and give me knowledge. Come and give me wisdom. Come and give me the things that I need. Come and give me more faith. So the simple question today is, what flow of the Spirit do you need to draw upon or believe for in your life right now? Which one are you going to look at today? And maybe tomorrow you can look at another one. Next day another one. Don't stay where you are. Have faith and believe that God will do what he says he will do. That is the New Testament in a nutshell. Jesus comes and brings salvation and then says, tag, you're it. Go and do what I've called you to go and do by the power of my Holy Spirit. And the whole of the New Testament after Jesus is basically people going, I'm just going to go and pray for the world. I'm going to go into the world and use what God's given me to go and change it. And what starts with 12 guys impacts the entirety of this world. So what can God start in you? What movement can he start in you today? Because you have the power and Spirit of God in you. Let's pray. So Father God, let us not be like Ahaz who rejects faith and trust in you, but be like Hezekiah whose heart is to seek to reconnect the source to the place where we can draw from. So Lord, help us reconnect with you, the source. Jesus, you are the source of life. It's from you where we drink. As you say in John 7, if you're thirsty, come and drink from me, and I'll give you a living water that will live in you and flow in and out of you, which is the Spirit of God. So Lord, we trust in the words of Jesus, and Lord, we come this morning and say, we are thirsty. We want to draw from the wells of salvation. We want to come and drink from what you have done, Jesus, and know that when we drink from the wells of salvation, and that because we are saved, we have access to the Spirit of God, we pray that your life, your Spirit would flow in and through us like a torrent, that a river would flow in and through us, bringing all the things that we need, where we need your wisdom, your understanding, where we need your counsel, where we need your understanding, where we need more faith. Lord, also to empower us to go and be people who teach, to go and be people who lead, to go and be people who have prayers of faith and power for miracles, people who have the ability to discern what's going on. So Spirit of God, I pray you'd come now, Spirit of God. Hear our cries as we cry out to you for more of your Spirit, to drink deeper from the wells of salvation and find more of the life-giving water of God. Come, Holy Spirit, empower us, we pray. Amen.